Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. You're listening to episode 275 of The Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here with you.
Hello.
Not far away from 300 now, is it?
I know. I'm surprised you can keep count, Jason.
It's 6 months away from episode 300, but yeah, we'll get there in the end. Sometime next year.
Yes, in 2015.
Yeah. You're good at this math stuff, aren't you? Right, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
And yourself?
Oh, I'm suitably average, I think.
Good.
Yeah, what's coming up on the show?
Well, we have a packed one for you. Music this week is from Danny Toman.
Yep, hearing some of his tunes as we head to the show today. Also, we'll be finding out all about Hospice Care Week and the fantastic Halloween events taking place at the Cedars in October with Compton Hospice.
If you're feeling a bit peckish, we'll be going through cakes with Michelle Butler.
We'll be finding out about the Jobs Fair taking place at Molyneux on the 3rd of October.
And we'll be talking to Kevin Crook from Wolf Paranormal Events.
But first of all, I'm with three of the cast of Dirty Dancing, which is currently appearing at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. And I more or less got the character names. I've got to try and remember the real names. We've got Gareth, Rosie and Claire. Hello.
Hello.
First of all, we should do this in height order. Looking up to Gareth. Gareth, you play Johnny in the production, and that's one hell of a role to try and take on, isn't it?
It is. It's been quite a journey for me to take the character on within the show. But yeah, it takes a lot of work, commitment, but it's a lot of fun at the same time.
And you're getting 80% of the audience, which are women, all getting a bit excited whenever you get your clothes off.
I'd like to think so.
You were driving them wild on press night down here. And what sort of adoration, that coming on, does that not cause problems with the rest of the cast? Or did that you think everybody loves you and nobody else?
No, I think the production is so well known because of the film, and I think people love all the characters within the production. And I think together, it's the show is only as strong as your ensemble and your whole team around you. And I think, together, Claire, my partner as Penny, and Rosie as Baby, we all work together as a partnership, and I think the whole thing together works just amazingly.
We will be checking what the girls think in a moment at this time. However, there's some amazing dancing in the show, and you get to be part of that. Is that your background?
Yes, I trained for 3 years in performing arts at Italia Conti, and I've now been with this production for just over 3 years, and it's just been the dancing side of it. We've got so much great choreography and amazing music to dance to. I think it just gives the whole production a lot of energy, and ultimately is a lot of fun for us to be part of.
And from Johnny on to Baby Rosie. So, what's he like really? Does he like to steal the limelight? Because, it's all about you really, isn't it, this production?
No, of course not. It's about everyone, and I think that's not only something I believe, but also something that Baby believes. I think the whole story is based around the fact that she wants to look out for other people, the fact that she goes and helps out Penny, the fact that she's sort of literally looking for a cause the whole way through the show, I think means that not only, as I said, do I think that it's all about everybody, but I think she also thinks that too. And no, Gareth does not steal the limelight. we're all very good friends back here. I feel very lucky because this is my first sort of big job out of drama school, I feel like I've kind of been cushioned into the industry because everybody's so nice.
And it's an amazing production, and when you're trying to follow something like a film that so many people know, I'll admit I had never seen the film when I came to see the play, but still really, really enjoyed the production. But such high production values, great scenery to work with. We're stood on the stage now, I can see where the band perform, and it's great just seeing the whole thing taking shape live.
It is, I saw it take shape live before I ever saw the film too. In fact, still haven't seen it, so don't worry, you're not alone there. Yes, absolutely, live band, we've got live singing, we've got fantastic numbers. I mean, the dancers are absolutely incredible. I was trained as an actor mainly myself, and I kind of came in and I don't have to act all the gawping that Baby does and all the Penny's long legs and her fantastic moves.
And the stage itself, here at the Grand, there's the rake on it, it's making it a little bit of a slope. And I'm amazed how much slope is left, even with the massive turntable in the middle. Has that been a bit of a problem as well, or is it just part of the excitement?
It's part of the excitement, of course, but also for this venue, we happen to come from somewhere with an even greater slope. So when we came here, we were a bit like, it's not so slopey here. So I think if we'd come from somewhere that was flat, it would have felt more extreme. But because we came from somewhere with a massive rake, we were like, oh, great.
And when you're working with so much of the back projection and the screens behind you, is that interesting, not having physical scenery to work with sometimes?
Yeah, it is interesting. It's different. And it's nice, though, to know what's behind you. So there's a scene, for instance, where Baby looks out at a scene of beautiful rolling hills, etc. And it's projected behind me, so I did ask to see that, so that when I'm looking out, you know, I know what I'm looking at, I know what they're seeing, me seeing. So yeah.
And we have the turntable, which is moving around as part of the set, and it's bringing different people in and out as things happen. And that must be an interesting challenge, seeing the audience go past as you're dancing.
It is, yeah. It's also fab, I think. It puts the audience right at the heart of whichever moment the director wants them to be at the heart of. So it's really facilitates a really quick moving show, which of course makes, you know, tries to recreate the pace of the film, because obviously, you know, if we were to do the show as a show piece by piece like the film, it would probably take much longer than we managed to fit it into. So yeah, that's why we have the turntable.
And with the film and the songs, because the songs are there in this production, mm-hmm. but it's easier in a film to show a lot of different scenes. Scene changes in live theatre is a little more difficult, and that works so well. And I mean, if you say you've not seen the film either, but there's nothing missing from the elements of the story, and I'm sure that's feedback you've had as well.
Absolutely, yeah, that's feedback we've had. The only thing we've got is a few extra scenes that were cut from the film, so there you go, if you want to see the cut material come along. There's just, yeah, one or two, but other than that, it's absolutely faithful to the film, because that's what we know people love.
It is the story as it happens. And let's move on to Claire, aka Penny. And we've already had mention of your legs. The whole production can't go by without some of the outfits you have and the way in which you move. It's amazing.
Thank you. But yeah, it's all an illusion, really. There's a gold Latin shoe and some lovely costumes that just make everything look a little bit better than it is.
Not true.
No, it was certainly, we were enjoying it from our seats. It was a fantastic performance. When you're taking on a role like this, it is a play with three leads, isn't it? Certainly in the first act. And it's a bit of a roller coaster for your character.
Yeah, it is, and I think that's why I enjoy the character so much, because there's so many different levels to her, and I get to sort of enjoy that each night. So there's a real fun side to Penny that I think you see as soon as she comes out onto stage, and there's kind of a wildness to her. But then also that she's quite tough, but she's got a softness. So it's kind of finding all those different levels every night, and obviously she's going through a pretty horrendous time in her life. And it kind of all skips quite quickly from scene to scene, so finding those different levels is a nice challenge for me.
And is this a film you've seen and enjoyed over the years?
I've seen the film probably a million times.
But you're not old enough to have been there when it came out, so this was somebody introduced you to this.
No, I am old enough, yeah. No, I was a massive fan of the film. I grew up dancing, so for me, obviously, any sorts of films with dancing, I was addicted to them. So Dirty Dancing was definitely up there. It was one of my favourites, so I think that's why it's even more of a pleasure to be a part of this production.
And obviously it's a huge cast. Do you know how many are in it? It must be a good 15, 20.
We travel with everyone, cast, crew, band. I think there's about 57 of us to make it all happen. So there's a lot of work and a lot of people's really hard work and effort to make this production happen each night. So It's a great team of people, and it's nice that we move around the country together, just like a huge family.
And you have to get on. There's some very intimate scenes in there, and any bits that your mates, if you feel slightly uncomfortable dancing around within that way, or is it all it's all calm, and you're just used to being professional about it all.
No, it's all very calm, and there's a whole kind of story, I suppose, that the audience don't always know about, because we've got such strong relationships and we become so close with everyone that we're working with. There is a lot of fun and a lot of intimate things that go on stage, but all in a nice sort of friendship way, so nothing's really ever awkward, and you kind of get past that quite quickly when you have to get so close in the rehearsal process. You can't ever feel too awkward, or you just have to get on with it. And actually, it makes everyone's relationships kind of stronger, really.
Is there anybody who stays in character when you're on the tour bus?
No, I think everyone's quite well behaved.
Yeah. Brilliant production and great performances from absolutely everybody when we saw it. So keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
The tour's at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre right the way through until the 11th of October. For more details, check online at grandtheatre.co.uk or give the box office a call on Wolverhampton 429212. That's 01902 429212. We had several of the Wolves players along at the press night, and this is what Danny Bart thought when he came along. Right, with Wolves captain Danny Johnny Bart here at Dirty Dancing. It is halftime, aka the interval. And your thoughts so far on the production?
Yeah, we're having a really good time. It's obviously something nice to come and do during the week, and we've obviously been asked to come down here and show our face, and we've really enjoyed the evening so far.
Because you don't normally turn up to a dance show.
It's something a bit different. It's not something I can really say that I know a great deal about, but it's definitely worth an evening.
Yeah, because you're not even old enough to remember the film, are you? You probably heard some of the soundtrack.
I've heard a few of the songs, yeah.
but it's not what you normally go for, but certainly a good night. And the dancers, they're putting a bit of work in out there. It's not quite the same as a professional footballer, I'm sure, but they're really going some on stage.
I mean, it's similar in some regards. They're under a spotlight and they're on a stage, so they're working hard, and you can see, obviously, with the performance, how dedicated they are and what show they put on.
Let's take our first bit of music then. It's Danny Toman and That Sinking Feeling.
Oh, that sinking feeling. My best laid plans are gone to waste. Really leaves a bitter taste. No concealing, disappointment's on the rise. Should've come as no surprise. I tried to have it all, now I'm destined for a fall. There's no end to my grieving. Oh, is it any wonder why I'm going under? Oh, that sinking feeling. Oh, let me tell you about. Gone for my dreaming. I bet my hope's on a better day. Hope is gone and it's time to pay, yeah, for all my scheming. Risked it all on a whim. You're just looking mighty grim. Will the time come back around? Get my feet on solid ground. Gone are the days of real feeling. Oh, is it any wonder?
And I'm sure that's not quite how we feel at the moment as he joins us on the phone. Hello.
Hello, Jason.
How are you doing?
It sounds very perky.
I'm, you know what, it's the end of a long day, but I'm actually feeling very uplifted to be able to have a chat with you lovely people.
That's all good, and thank you for joining us. So, tell us a little more about your music, your influences, your life, and your style.
Well, I do get asked this question a lot. I'm not going to lie. I find it very hard to actually come up with a coherent answer for it. I've been doing the music thing from a very young age and always loved soul music, funk music, rhythm, blues. You know, I've been on the scene for the last about 3-4 years. And, you know, I figured it's time to release some new music. You know, I've got the new record coming out called The Way It Seems, which I'm very, very excited about.
You're doing an EP, not quite an album, but I assume that's in the pipeline because you sound like the sort of man who's got a few songs behind him.
Well, you know, a few years ago I did release an album just, you know, while I was studying at university. I thought it'd be fun to see if I could make a full album, and I did. You know, it was just sort of something for me and my mates. So actually what happened was one of the tracks from it got picked up by by a very large international department store and ended up on in-store playlist of their stores. That kind of took off. So, you know, the album thing, actually, you already done that, but I'm thinking, you know, I want to stick to just sort of shorter pieces of music, because I think that's where the industry has pretty much come.
Have you ever been in the store that's played that song and wandered round until you've heard it coming through the speakers?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I can name the store, but, you know, it has...
You can name the store, we're not proud.
Okay, well, it's, you know, it's Abercrombie & Fitch.
That is quality!
And it's not on the playlist anymore. And so, you know, for a long time, because here's the thing, it was being played in their lingerie section called Gilly Hicks. It was never in the area, it was on Regent Street in central London. And for once, I was standing outside, like, waiting for people to walk in and out to see if I could hear it kind of coming through the door as people left. And then I walked in, and, you know, finally I said, you know what, I'm going to walk in, I'm going to see if they're playing it. And they told me that the summer playlist had changed.
Aww. So the thing is, what we really want to know, what the statistics for how many pairs of knickers your music sells?
I don't know, but I like to think... You know, every once in a while when I get an email saying that there's someone in either Chicago or like the Midwest or the South of America or Germany where I know there are in areas where I know there are stores, well, someone will buy that one track of iTunes. And I think, you know, sort of once every 2 months now it's kind of tapered off a bit. I like to think that, you know, there was something on the face.
So you've had a busy time over the last few weeks with a few gigs, but the big one comes up just after the EP itself is released, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, I've managed to schedule it all so I can deal with all the big stress in my life in one concentrated week. EP comes out on Monday, 27th of October. 28th of October, I am playing at the Royal Albert Hall for Blues Fest.
That's
a good
going. Yeah,
yes.
No, it's a great place to play, and I'm sure your music is going to fill the acoustics of that room fantastically.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I don't think I'm in the big room.
They might let you. Well, you know, as soon as they get wind of the fact that you've been flogging underwear for a living, they'll have you in there.
Well, I flog all kinds of things. And I'm very excited to be playing at Blues Fest on the 28th of October, and my set is at 1 o'clock, I believe.
And there's going to be a lot of big acts down there.
Oh, yeah.
It's one to get tickets for and come and see the whole bill, but certainly enjoy your music along the way. Where else are you going? Because I know you're selling your music through Bandcamp, you can be found on there, but are people able to follow your life on Facebook and Twitter as well to see what's going on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm on all over Facebook, and well, maybe not all over it. I'm on Facebook. You know, you'll find me if you go to facebook.com/ Danny Toman. That's DANNY, and then my surname is Toman. That's TOEMAN. That's Toe as in foot, man as in woman, Danny Toman.
Brilliant.
I'm also on Twitter at Danny Toman. You can find me on SoundCloud. On all the social media.
Yeah, so if you just put your name into Google as well, it'll pop up with everything, I would imagine.
Oh, that tends to work.
Danny, great to speak to you. Thank you for sharing the music. We're really enjoying it. What are we going to hear next? What's our next song?
Next song is from my last album, Lifeblood Soul, and it's called Feel My Soul.
And tell us a bit about this one.
Well, it's one that I really enjoy playing live a lot. It's quite a personal tune. And, you know, it's generally one of the audience's favourite songs to listen to. Because I think they can tell that, you know, I put a lot of effort into it and I really go for it in this one. And this is the recorded version of it, recorded back in my bedroom in 2011.
Danny, great speaking to you. Thank you for joining us. And give us the web address one more time so people can come along and find you.
Certainly. Facebook.com/ Danny Toman, DannyToman.com, and @ Danny Toman on Twitter. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. Cheers.
Thank you.
We're enjoying the rest of the music. Thanks, then. Ciao for now.
Bye.
I saw your picture this morning, and all I could do was sigh. Yeah. A smile on your face in a loving embrace with him. I travel my face, little darling. One moment was all that I took. Was it up to you? I'd been feeling so blue, not being around you, girl. Why do you care what the people say? Your friends never liked me anyway. Listen to your heart, baby. And not what's in your head. Some things, yeah,
much, and sometimes not enough. But I'd never let you down, girl. I don't have money or fashionable clothes. That ain't the way the story has to go. I got something deep inside of me,
and I love to see
something that's living on.
Feel my soul. Now, it is coming up to Halloween almost.
Yes.
And as usual, Compton's going to be doing something spectacular.
They are, or is it spooktacular? Possibly. Who knows? Grace Ruston's here to tell us more about that and also Hospice Care Week. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm all right. You okay?
Yeah, not bad. Thank you.
You're not shopping in Morrison's in Willen all this time where I bumped into you the other day, are you?
I think people need an explanation as to that.
We were both shopping in Morrison's in Willenholm.
Just
we
happened
were,
to be in the same
we?
Shop.
Yeah.
We reached for the same cereal box, didn't we, Jason?
And those cornflakes were on special offer, but other than
they
that. So what's been going on then? Because they say it's Hospice Week on the way.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We've got a busy, busy month coming up. 6th to the 12th of October is Hospice Care Week, which is a national campaign that aims to highlight the importance of hospice care.
So is that the one with sunflowers?
Anything yellow, basically.
Oh, all yellow stuff. Okay.
All yellow stuff.
What do you wear that's yellow?
What do I wear that's yellow? Oh, my Compton Hospice T-shirt.
There we go. You see, that I was expecting that was the correct answer. And so there's going to be people doing all sorts of things and Compton hopefully doing very well out of it too, I trust.
We hope so. I mean, any money that people want to raise is absolutely fantastic. But Hospice Care Week is mainly about just kind of raising the profile of hospice care. So even if you talk to somebody, whether it's your friends or family, let them know about your local hospice and the amazing work that we do. That would be fantastic.
As I say, it is a good a good week if you are thinking about raising funds to perhaps plan it in for that week. Yeah, so
absolutely. I mean, we've had people in the past who've sort of organized wear yellow to work days or yellow to school or held like yellow bake sales. Absolutely anything, as long as you incorporate the color yellow, that's fantastic.
Well, it's all right for Sammy Sunflower. He can turn up wearing what he's normally wearing.
Yeah. he's got it stuff. Yeah. And we've had lots of interest. We do during hospice care week, we're also getting some schools into the hospice as well, so they're doing tours of our facilities, very much wanting to get the younger people involved in finding out what hospice care is at an early age so that they grow up with a better understanding of what it is that we do.
And there's a lot of fantastic stories about the work that you do, and people very often see it as just end of life care, and it isn't. Yeah. Just that it's about helping people through a part of their life which is going to be difficult anyway.
We help people at the point that they're told that their illness is no longer curable. Sometimes that might be the last sort of weeks or days of life, but we have patients who've been with us for months, sometimes even years. Like you said, it's just that network of support. It's a very difficult time to go through, and to have somebody there that understands is fantastic, and it's a support for the family as well.
So I think that's quite important as well, to because the you know, I know that person is going through that, but then obviously, you know, you've got the people that are going to be left behind as well that need
support. Of course, and we support family members or friends or relatives to come to terms with how their family members coping with symptoms, and we obviously provide bereavement support as well for after that person has passed away. We always keep them in our hearts and minds. I think the statistic at the moment is that 1 in 3 people in the UK will be touched by hospice care at some point in their lives, whether that's as a patient directly or as a friend or family member, somebody accessing that kind of support.
Important those funds come in, and another way of doing that is the event on the 25th of October, which is some Halloween fun. So tell us all about this one.
Absolutely, our Scarefest is back this year. So Saturday the 25th of October, we turn our Cedars site on Compton Road West into a, we call them the Freaky Forest. We've got lots of entertainment.
That makes me cringe every time you say that.
We've got some fantastic actors and people who were yet standing by to scare people. We're going to have lots of games, lots of entertainment, and of course there's Halloween fancy dress as well. So we want to encourage as many people to come along dressed in their spookiest outfit possible.
And it is important to point out that this is the administration building and you won't be scaring any of the residents.
We aim not to, no. It's our fundraising building. It's a free event. People are welcome of all ages. We're actually starting it a little bit earlier this year, so it's going to be from 3 p.m. in the afternoon until 9 p.m. at night, so some of the younger children can come by a bit earlier on in the afternoon. And get involved with lots of fun, and obviously any money that's raised from the event goes back directly towards supporting the patients at the hospice.
Yeah, and there's going to be refreshments and that sort of thing available, things to buy.
Absolutely.
And yep, a big bucket, a big bucket to throw your money in as well.
Yes, get rid of all your change.
There'll be plenty of those,
And what are you going as this year?
Oh, well, I haven't decided my outfit yet. I was thinking maybe a pumpkin or something like that. Nothing too scary. What about you, Jace? What are you coming out?
Oh, I think, unfortunately, I'm actually working that night, the horse racing. So my weekends are taken up with work all the time. So, I will gladly turn up to any of your events whenever I can.
It's a shame because you don't really need a costume either, do
Behave.
You, Jason?
You took the words out of my mouth.
Could fall out with you two. I mean, we won't even go into what Zoe's wearing at the minute, but there we are. So... On that note, give us all the details how people can get in touch if they want to find out about more supporting Compton and the work that's going on at the moment.
Of course, the best place to reach us is via our website, so it's compton-hospice.org.uk, or you can give us a ring on 0845 2255 497.
Yeah, look out for what's going on as far as the hospice week goes, and also make sure you get down there 25th of October if you're not working on the night like me. And you can pop along down to the Cedars. And what time does it start and what time does it finish again?
3 p.m. till 9 p.m.
So a good long... 5.5 hours Halloween fun. That's the way we like it. Grace Ruston, it's great speaking to you as ever. Thank you for joining us.
Lovely to speak to you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's take another song then from Danny Toman. This one is Laying It on the Line.
Take it or leave it, but I just need some relief. along with some false belief.
It on the line.
Zoe.
Yes.
What do you like?
Oh, what in what way?
Cakes.
Cakes.
Do you
yes.
like cupcakes?
Oh, definitely.
I know a woman
if there's food somewhere, I'm normally there.
I know a woman who knows her cupcakes and we can find out all about them. She's Michelle Butler and you are from Cupcake Lane. Hello.
Hello there.
How's you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. A little bit tired. Opening's been busy to say the least.
Yeah, because it was a week ago on Sunday that you opened the shop. And
it was the 21st, yeah. That's right.
And it's been absolutely mad down there. I hear they were queuing out the door on opening day.
They were indeed. People were so wonderful and so patient with us. But yes, we had queues out of the door from 12 o'clock right the way through until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
And a range of cakes available. First of all, we'll tell people where you are because you're in Tetnall, but you're just at the entrance to the Smestow Valley Local Nature Reserves. Is she in the old railway station?
It's actually the old station building. There's three buildings on the site now at Smestow Local Nature Reserve. There's what was formerly the ticket office at the front. There's the old goods shed, which is being turned into a transport museum. And then there's ourselves, and we're actually the station building. And we've got the platform area as well, which is partly grassed, and we've put some swings and some picnic tables out there as well.
Mm. So it looks very nice. I'm just on your Facebook page. The pictures are lovely.
There's food.
Yes, there's some good reviews as well. Everybody's saying how well it went and how nice the cakes were. So I think everybody enjoyed it.
That's wonderful to hear. That's the staple of our menus, the cupcakes and the different range of flavours. So it's wonderful to hear that people are enjoying them.
Do you make the recipes yourself? Or do you
I do indeed. Flavors? No, I do them myself, and so we do typically three different sponges. We do a plain sponge, a chocolate sponge, or ginger, and then we ice accordingly, and the icing is where the flavouring comes in. Mm. So, say, for example, our Turkish Delight cake is a chocolate base with a Turkish Delight topping and then chocolate sprinkles all over it.
That sounds lovely. I do love Turkish Delight. It's got to be one of my favourites.
Imagine someone's going to be turning up very, very soon. But, I mean, also, you've got family who've actually got some food intolerances as well. So do you build this into the cake range that you have?
We do indeed. It's me and my mum that have taken on the business, that we've started it together. And what we've done is taken things that we like and that we need. And one of those things is that my mum has a gluten intolerance. And so we were used to everywhere we went that I could eat from anybody's menu, but my mum would really struggle. They would, particularly with cakes, but again, couldn't find anywhere that would do gluten-free cakes and cater for us. So we always have a range, and we like to top them with the same icings that we do with the other cakes. So somebody who is suffering with a food intolerance, but they can enjoy the food just the same.
Mm. Can you do cakes to order as well?
We do indeed, yes. Actually, over the last week, we've had orders that have come in for the Macmillan charity tea morning, so I've been busy preparing boxes of 12 cakes, all ribbon tied. But in addition to that, we also do things like special occasions. We do cupcake bouquets, and they come in a box with all tissue and they're cellophane wrapped. But instead of flowers, you've got cupcakes that look like flowers. We also do baskets for baby showers, christenings, new births, and they pretty little white basket with a pink or blue teddy in there. Or a brown teddy if it's baby share and they don't know the sex of the baby. And that's also filled with individual cupcakes as well. So
that sounds nice.
We cater for lots of different occasions.
Yeah, as I say, I think a lot of people now as well, rather than having like one whole cake for a wedding, they'll have like tiers of cupcakes, won't they?
That's right. And again, that's something that's part of our future plans that we would happily... We have like the old-fashioned sweet cart, be able to hire that out in the future and to be able to, again, we can mix most colours for cupcakes as well. So if a bride was to come in with a swatch of a particular colour, that's something that, that we'd do. But what we're trying desperately to do at the moment is create something that's a really solid foundation at the station building. Mm. So it's a really welcoming step back in time into the tea room where people can come and enjoy cake and tea. And
yeah, because I do like a nice sponge, I must admit, a really nice homemade sponge. I mean, I always say this to my husband because he finds it a bit strange that when you're eating cake, you want to eat proper cake. You don't want to have anything which is a bit artificial. Well, or he doesn't get what I mean by that, but do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And within a vanilla, within the basic sponge, that we do, there should really only be four main ingredients. That's your egg, your butter, your flour, and your sugar. Those should be the only four things that go in there. And that's why I'm baking fresh each night, so that, again, ready for the next morning, that there's a fresh batch of cakes coming out for people. So they are always those moist sponge that people want to enjoy.
And you're using real butter as well, so it is actually, if you know, if you've got a vegetarian, they're not having to worry about what's in the margarine that's sometimes used in cakes.
No, absolutely. And again, we also, within that, within the food intolerances, we can also cater for, we do dairy-free sponges and dairy-free buttercream icing, and we can also do egg-free cakes as well. Mm. So again, a good range of what we can offer to people.
And on the rare occasion, should there's anything left, your mother just scoffs all the special ones, does she?
Well, between the two of us, we enjoy them, but yes, absolutely.
I doubt that's going to happen very often, to be fair, from what I hear, but there we go.
No.
So, speciality coffees and things as well, from what I'm told?
Yeah, we do. A basic range, and again, we don't offer an extensive menu of our coffees, but what we do deliver, we like to think that it's good quality. So within there, there's the latte, cappuccino, mocha, hot chocolates. We do a wonderful giant hot chocolate, which is a great big glass tankard that's covered in cream, marshmallows and flake that we do there. Obviously, we do the espresso shots as well, should that be what somebody wants. Or if they want black coffee, we also, I think, are one of the few places in the area where you can enjoy a cafetiere of coffee as well. So we offer the single estate Montesillon cafetieres. So, and everybody is sampled those, think they're wonderful. And aside that, then, as far as hot drinks are concerned, the teas, I think, are what makes us a little bit special, because all of our cups are old china cups and saucers. And we do not only normal breakfast tea, but we also do a whole range of different speciality teas as well.
Have you got a decaf for me?
Yes, we've got a decaf for you. That's not a problem at all.
That's smashing. I'm going to have to turn up.
I was going
to
say, there's not many cafes or you know, canteens or whatever that will do like decaf tea. Which
there's a few more than there used to be. I know where they all are, but it's always worthwhile to find another place, and particularly one that does cakes as well.
Yeah, we always have decaf.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we can cater for you.
Fantastic. So, if people want to come along, look out for the station building at the top of Smestow Nature Reserve. That's in Tetnall. And pop down, enjoy a walk after you've had a cup of tea and a cake. I walk that off, and then probably you'll be a bit peckish and come back for another one. Yeah, so I can see that happening.
Absolutely.
Maybe you do takeaways, as you say, as well. So
we do as well. Yes.
So that'll do the job.
So, as people are going on there, certainly as we head towards the colder mornings there, if people want to pop in and pick up a nice hot drink to take with them on their walk, and then I'll coax them back in for coffee and cake on their way back.
Michelle, that sounds absolutely fantastic. I'll have to come down and see you very soon, and see if the rain's in as well. We can say hello to Mother too. But great speaking to you, and it is nice to hear a small business doing so well at launch, and that's going to there'll be cupcake lanes all over the place, I'm sure, fairly soon.
Thank you so much.
It's a lot of baking you've got to do. You realise that, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Like, you get back to the ovens then there and get everything ready for tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's take some more music now. It's Danny Toman and Conspiracy.
Soon they'll disappear. Something funny's going on in this atmosphere. Need to keep my level head on. Sharks are gathering. There's a darkness in the water. Time to sink or swim.
It's a conspiracy.
Conspiracy from Danny Toman. It is that time of year when people are thinking more about ghosts and spooks and all that sort of stuff. But somebody who is doing serious work into this pretty much 365 days a year is Kevin Crook from Wolf Paranormal Events. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Now, you are part of a group who visit various places around the Midlands and beyond and do some investigating into potential spiritual activity. So explain a little bit more.
Well, basically, we go to alleged haunted buildings and venues and we try and see if there's any truth behind that. We don't automatically believe everything is a ghost. Everything what goes bump in the night is a ghost. We try and debunk what's going on.
Have you got any special equipment that you take around with you?
We've got all the equipment what you have, flashing lights and that, called KT meters, what you see on different programs on the TV and video recorders and stuff. But we try and base it on our events, basically on what people feel for themselves. Basically, if something happens to a person, they find it difficult to describe it away. And they tend to find that more interesting than seeing a flashing light than somebody standing there saying, oh, yeah, because that light's flashing, it's a ghost.
Yeah.
I can't prove that, and neither can they.
So it's something you can go to with an open mind, but deep down you hope to get a feeling of a presence or be able to catch something on camera or maybe a temperature change, something like that. You personally believe that can happen?
Yes, very much so. I mean, I've been doing it for the last 20 years and still haven't found all the answers, but I've had quite a few strange experiences over the years.
Mm-hmm. What's your strangest one, would you say?
When you walk through an open doorway and you can't explain, it suddenly goes freezing cold in front of you and there's no outside drafts or nothing. And it's difficult to sort of explain, and then you see a light in front of you and it's not a torch light or nothing or any other outside lights, and then it disappears as quick as it comes, which was quite strange. It
can be unnerving, I suppose, but you're putting yourself in the position where you can pick up on this. And when you go to these groups, now I've actually been with you around a radio station, WCR, and you've looked
That's
at the,
supposed
that,
to
that
be
building.
Haunted, isn't it?
It is, and we spent one night there with you and one of your previous groups there. And when it comes to going around this sort of place, I mean, you will have a medium with you, somebody who feels that they can contact or at least receive some sort of feeling from those who may have passed on.
That's correct, yeah. We all take sensitive, or we'll take mediums with us. We don't solely rely on that, but we have most of the group have had different feelings and different things happen to them, so they're quite open-minded about it. So it's basically just trying to see what's there and trying to prove it for ourselves and people who come with us. You say, we did WCR and we heard rumours of a chair moving, but we didn't witness it on the night. The one strange thing we did have was all the PCs turning on their own with nobody by them.
Mm. Oh, scary.
That was unusual.
Were you there on that night, Jason?
I was.
Ah.
It was a sleepless night for me, so I'd had a very long day. But it is interesting, though, seeing the way people and these groups, you go into it. And it's very much a case of you're walking through something and you don't seem... I mean, to be taken in is not the right phrase, but you know where I'm coming from. It's not as if you're turning up to say, well, yeah, that's this is that, and that's the other. You are prepared when you're doing this to really wait and see from what evidence you get what something may be.
Yeah, we did an event at a local venue on Saturday, Technol Terrace. We was up in a flagpole room, and we got some strange taps and raps, which... We thought we was getting responses to questions, which at the time if we thought there was actually something there. Then we stopped and listened a bit carefully, and we actually found it was the flagpole, the rope, was actually tapping to answers for us. It wasn't paranormal, it turned out to be the wind. So we debunked that and ruled that out. But as we left, there was an almighty bang in the same room, so... That wasn't so easy to debunk.
You can't explain something sometimes.
Yeah.
And the clunk then was Zoe hitting a microphone, which scared me, I know that much.
So I suppose it depends on the person as well, because what one person might be afraid of and might think is paranormal, somebody else might, if they're more logical, would be able to explain it away and not be scared of it as well, mightn't
they? Definitely. We like sceptics to come on the group, and... We have turned complete sceptics into believers after an evening with us, which they come in with an open mind saying there's nothing there.
Mm.
They quite often go home and they've struggled to explain what's actually happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you are a group that will accept new members if somebody has some interest. How can people find out more about you?
We do public events. We do team events where just the team turn up to venues. But we do public events where people are invited to come along and experience for themselves. So we do a mixture of both.
And you've got a website and Facebook page?
We have got a website. It's wolfparanormalevents.co.uk.
and see people can actually join the group and maybe come along for a taster at one, or find out what your next public event actually is.
Indeed, yes. We've got a Facebook page as well. If anybody wants to like the page and have a look at the events on there, they're more than welcome. It'd be nice to meet new people.
Brilliant. Search for that one on Facebook. And Kev, great speaking to you. And I look forward to maybe coming along to one of your events somewhere in the near future.
Yeah, no, you're welcome to go along. And if Sarah wants to come along with you as well.
Oh, I think I'd be scared.
I think that'd be worth seeing, if nothing else. You could be our Yvette Fielding for the night.
I was just thinking that. I'd be her screaming.
We do get screamers.
Kev, great talking to you. Catch you soon.
Yeah. Cheers, Josh. Cheers,
Dan. Thanks. Bye. Bye. Let's take some more music now. It's Danny Toman and Everybody Says I'm Wrong.
Everybody says I'm wrong. They just don't understand my song. But I keep up the fight, because I know I'm right. Everybody says I'm wrong, trying to keep it going for so long. Said I wasted my youth, but they don't know the truth. Says I'm wrong.
Says I'm wrong.
And that's what keeps me going strong. To myself I've guaranteed one day I'll finally succeed. One day I'll finally succeed. One day I'll finally succeed.
Was Danny Toman, Everybody Says I'm Wrong, here on the Milk Bar this week. Our last tune from him.
Wolverhampton sees a job fair at WV1 at Molyneux on Friday the 3rd of October. To tell us more about the event, we have Councillor Bilson. Hello, sir.
Hello there, Jason.
How are we doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Good. And we're looking forward to having a very successful promotion next week in promoting the opportunities and jobs that are coming into Wolverhampton, and the chance of Wolverhampton people to get access to them.
Yes, it's a very exciting time for our city, what with the additional workload that's going to be coming from I-54 and the plant down there, as well as many other employees. In fact, I think is it 30 or more employees who will be at Molyneux for the event?
Yes, at least 30, and they include, as you rightly say, Jason, Jaguar Land Rover. We've also got our aerospace companies turning up, UTC, Wolverhampton Homes, McDonald's, National Express, the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust and the Armed Forces, including other companies like Eurofins, Angel Springs and Healthcare and BCA Logistics Company. So it's quite a few to be looking at.
So whatever your educational background, whatever type of work you're looking for, there's likely to be something which will fit in with your CV.
Absolutely. There are going to be literally hundreds of jobs, real jobs, on offer, ranging from very basic jobs required in the service industries or retail areas, right up to the highest skilled engineers. So the companies will be there themselves to actually tell people about the opportunities within their companies, and it's for Wolverhampton people to respond to that challenge.
Now, this is on from 9.30 until 2.30 on Friday the 3rd of October. So is this really aimed at people who are out of work at the moment, or maybe somebody who's looking for a change who can sneak off on a Friday afternoon?
I think it's both, Jason, actually. Clearly, we want to ensure that as many people, especially young people who are not in employment, education or training, get a chance to improve themselves, aspire to employment now and in the future, as well as people who've been out of work for some time. So it really is going to be pitching towards all groups and all opportunities for people who also might want to change their job.
And how have employees got involved in this? Has this been active work by the council to go out and find people who might be recruiting, or have they come to you?
We've been working collaboratively as a partnership. This is the launch, in a sense, in a sort of gentle way, of the new City Board, which is a partnership between the City Council, our statutory partners, the university, the colleges, businesses in the city, and the third sector, including all voluntary organisations. So we want to make sure that it's creating a real opportunity for the whole of the community of Wolverhampton, and employment as a means of reducing poverty and encouraging people to improve their quality of life is a great way of doing that.
Now, we're talking about literally hundreds of jobs here, and this is, you know, potentially just the start of something, because it isn't the first time you've done this, and I'm sure this isn't going to be the last.
No, it isn't. It's clearly part of an ongoing strategy. We need to work with our partners in the schools, in the colleges. We need to work with employers to try and ensure that we are equipping people with the skills that they need to access some of the jobs that are going to be on offer. What we're hoping that the jobs fair will produce is the opportunity for them to meet face to face with those employers, for the employers to say exactly what they're looking for and give some people encouragement about how they can get access to the jobs on offer.
So maybe you suggest, even if somebody isn't certain they're going to have the right job skills at the moment, come along and talk to these people and find out what they need to do next.
That's absolutely the thing to do. It's a free event, there's no charge. It's at a good central location at Molyneux Stadium at WV1. Everybody knows where that is, right in the heart of the city. So go along and go and have a look what's on offer.
And is there a website or flyers that people can pick up to find out more and confirm, you know, the sort of people who are going to be there?
I'm sure that people would be able to get more information simply by visiting www.wolverhampton.gov.uk. Have a look in, look at the opportunities that will be available, and go along on Friday.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Wolverhampton Today Facebook page will have some information, probably even pictures from the event. So if you're not certain what to do at 9.30 in the morning, maybe check back and pop along after lunch. That might be the answer to the one too.
Absolutely, that's the way to do it.
Councillor Bilson, thank you for joining us, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Jason.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Cheers.
Well, that's it.
It is.
A busy one, but
it
fun.
Is indeed. Do you know what I fancy now? I fancy a nice cupcake and coffee. I wonder if they're open now.
I think they've probably sold out for the day, and she hasn't baked the batch for tomorrow. We could follow the smell of cakes across Wolverhampton. Yeah, they're still warm. That'd be good. You can't ice them till you cook the cold, though. That's the thing. You have to cook the night before, otherwise your icing falls off.
I know. I'll have one without icing. I don't mind.
You'll just eat cake anytime. Yes, right, cake. We'll be back next week with more of the same. All right, then.
Thank you.
Half an hour.
Bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.